Blog Talk Radio.
Turn me up a little bit.
Yo, turn radio.
Ha ha. What you know about it? Ha ha. What you know about it? I said it.
I always think you're going to play that longer. Anyway,
I don't know why.
What's going on, everybody? This is WTF with Joe D and the lovely and talented Miss Kenitra Jordan. What's going on tonight, partner?
A lot. How's that?
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's better than... Oh, well, it's okay. Okay,
yeah,
you said
I had
a
to
lot.
Think about it before I answered you. I was gearing to say, you know, nothing much. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I can't do that because then he's gonna complain about that. So I was like, okay, let me just be over the top here. So
mm-hmm.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
But you said a lot.
Hey, I'm doing really well with my Fitbit.
With your what?
My Fitbit.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
No, my Fitbit. I'm doing really good with my Fitbit. I am smoking them. I've got 33 or 38,000 steps so far this week. So it's like 26 miles. So, woohoo!
Yes, congratulations. The whole world is rejoicing. 38,000 steps. Great.
Bite my ass, okay? Whatever.
We have a... great show for y'all tonight. Tonight is the night of double standards, which is interesting. That will be our main topic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That will be our main topic for tonight, double standards, any and everything. If you want to call in and give us your double standards, we'll have some that we've noticed throughout our years on this planet. And joining us, in the guest segment will be Sunita Moon, author of 8 books, her current open marriage. She'll be here to talk about that. And also we'll have Jessica Simpson.
Simmons.
Simmons. Oh, I'm sorry. Where did I get Jessica Simpson from? Wait a minute.
From that actual movie
anyway.
Star or whatever.
Yeah. Simmons. Jessica Simmons, sorry. Jessica Simmons. Of our Zitro fam, author of The Billionaire's Captive Mistress, and she'll be here to talk about that. And they will also join us in the main segment about double standards and give their take on what they feel about double standards and stuff. So that'll be coming up later on. Right now, we're going to do something that we like to call the spin cycle topic. So, KJ, spin the wheel.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
come on.
Jeez. Okay.
All right. So, I know you know, everybody's been talking about it, George Zimmerman got shot in the face Monday in Florida. And, you know, some people, now, of course, you know, I say that I'm so sorry that a person got shot, you know. But, you know, a lot of people are very thrilled that they're upset that a person got shot, but they're not so disheartened that it was him. I don't know how you say that, because either way you say it, it's not going to sound pleasant, because people were literally on social media cheering that he was shot. But
yeah, but
he
wasn't
shot.
Really shot. I mean, come
well,
on.
Well, yeah,
okay.
That's what the guy said. The guy said it was more likely the glass from the window that,
yeah.
that injured him.
Here's the thing. He wasn't shot. Shot is shot. Shot is a bullet goes in you. That's shot. He was grazed,
yeah.
Or either they said glass hit him or something like that. Like, because
yeah.
They said the injuries were minor. Because trust me, if somebody walk up to you and shoot you in the face, you're not going to have minor injuries. So
that's true.
Let's just back up off that. But couldn't happen to a nicer guy. What can I say?
See, Jody, that was terrible.
hell. Wasn't that terrible.
Was terrible.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
But the guy who shot him is claiming self-defense. And so that's what a lot of people are laughing because they're saying, you know, okay. They're like, well, look at this. So basically the, you know, the roosters have come home to roost, and he claims self-defense when he shot, you know, the young man that he shot, Martin. And so now they're saying it's just kind of poetic justice that this other person who shot him or shot at him is now claiming, you know, stand your ground, self-defense.
Yeah.
With Zimmerman, saying apparently that Zimmerman had been stalking him. So, just
wow.
Like, hmm.
What a
yeah, I know, right?
Him.
I don't like, know.
To
it's,
me,
you know,
okay.
Kind of creepy.
To me, if you got away with, like, murder, which you did, you got away with murder, wouldn't you keep a low profile after that?
Yeah, you would think so, but
you
not
know?
Everybody is that bright, so, as we see, you know, because he stays in the news. I mean, he's always in the news, always, and not for positive things. It's not like he's in the news because he, you know, rescued a puppy. He's always in the news for doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, one day somebody's going to take him out.
Mm.
I hate to wish ill will on anyone, but
I was just going to say, you sound like you're waiting for that particular day, and that's really a good thing to do.
I just think that's going to happen. Somebody's going to take him out. I mean, it's karma, too.
Okay. All right. Well, you know. All right, so what's yours?
Mine is also something that a lot of people have been talking about. I know we have a lot of Patriot fans who listen.
Oh, Deflategate. Okay, I'm sorry.
And, yes, you know, and a lot of Tom Brady fans. I mean, I'm a Tom Brady fan. But mine
really?
Is Deflate.
I don't even know who he is.
Really? But mine is Deflategate.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a different stance on it. Now, like I said, I'm a Tom Brady fan. So let's just keep that in mind. That I whenever anybody asks me who's the best quarterback in the NFL, I say Tom Brady. So I'm a Tom Brady fan. But let's keep it real here. The dude cheated. Y'all stop trying to cover up for him. Cheating is cheating is cheating. Just own up to it and take your punishment and come on back and win another Super Bowl if that's what you're going to do. But damn it, you cheated. You deflated the footballs. You had your underlings to deflate the footballs. They got text messages from them to you, and you wouldn't give up your phone. You know why? Because it would have proven that you were texting them, telling them what to do with the football. I mean, come on. It is what it is. And I get so sick and tired. I've been watching all of these sports talk shows, and they're talking about, oh, but he got 4 games for letting some air out of a football. It's not that egregious. I mean, let's just kick something real. If it wasn't that egregious, they wouldn't do it. You think they're deflating footballs just to be deflating footballs? They do it for a reason, because it helped his ass. He gained advantage from it. He did. If he had to gain an advantage, they would not have done it. They don't just do stuff just to be doing it. So he gained an advantage. Now, how much of an advantage he gained, who's to say? But he cheated. There's a rule. They specifically broke that rule. There's a rule that you can't deflate the football. Now, why is that rule in place? It's in place for a reason. Because a deflated football is easier to carry. The Patriots historically don't even fumble. Now we know why. Because their footballs are underdeflated.
Yes,
but
yes. You're preaching.
I'm just. But the thing is, I'm sick and tired. Like, everybody's like, oh, the NFL is out to get the golden boy. The NFL isn't out to get Tom Brady. They love Tom Brady. The NFL had to do what they had to do because he got caught. And, you know, and the Patriots, everybody knows, we saw what happened with Spygate. They were videotaping people, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And videotaping people running their plays. And they got a slap on the wrist when it came to Spygate. So, of course, they was going to throw the book at them this time because they got caught cheating again. You know, if you get caught, you get caught. Just fess up to it, move on. And let's keep it real. I know that people keep saying the Patriots won 4 Super Bowls. No, y'all didn't. Y'all won 3. Seattle gave y'all that last one. Let's keep it real. Because they had that game won. I'm just saying. Beast mode, give him the ball, touchdown. Anyway, what's
your
name?
Done? I was wondering if I should say amen or start passing the collection plate, but okay.
Whatever.
How about Subway, this person who worked for Subway, was fired for her post on Facebook. When are people going to learn that people actually do read your Facebook posts, even if they don't like or comment on them, and that the things you put out there in social media or on social media can and will be held against you? Her name is Sierra McCurdy, and she was an employee until she used Facebook to celebrate the murder of two police officers in Hattiesburg. I think Hattiesburg is in Louisiana. But apparently, you know, two police officers were shot and killed on the job during a traffic stop. And she goes on to, it was in Mississippi, excuse me. She took to Facebook and she actually put for her status, two police officers was shot, and of course, you know, it's not correct grammar, two police officers was shot in Hattiesburg tonight. Got them. And she had got them in all caps. And then she put like laughing emojis or emoji, whatever you say it, and then little gun emojis to the post. And so, you know, people.
Is this a minority woman?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So when Subway got wind of, you know, what had occurred because she was, you know, posting herself, posting in her Subway uniform. So.
Okay, let me get this straight.
No.
Let me just get this straight. So if you post something, because we know we're living in a PC climate right now. So if you post or so if you work at Subway, okay, making subs, selling subs, whatever you do with Subway, and you post something on social media, this particular was Facebook, you can get fired for that. Like, to me, that's ridiculous. I know we live in a politically correct society right now, which is ridiculous also. But having a opinion on something, whether that opinion is totally stupid or totally valid, it's still just an opinion. And
I know.
What in the world does that have to do with Subway? Now, here's the part that she probably messed up in, because she had the uniform on. Now, I wonder, had she just posted something without the uniform on, would she have been fired?
I doubt it.
Because nobody would have associated her with Subway. I think
with Subway,
probably
right.
That's probably why she got fired, because they identified her with Subway.
Right, and Subway said that they have worked too hard to establish their brand, to allow their brand to be tarnished, and that she does not represent their ideals or their thoughts or anything about what they stand for. And, you know, basically they parted like the Red Sea and let her behind hit the ground is what
they
did.
Well, of course they did. This woman was probably making a minimum wage or a little bit above minimum wage. Of course they're going to get rid of her. They're just going to kick her to the curb and then make an example. Wait. We worked too hard for this. I mean, come on. We all know that she wasn't speaking for y'all. She was speaking for herself. She was speaking in the climate. And I just found out it was in Mississippi. So we all know what's going down in
Mississippi.
I thought you said Louisiana.
No, I came back and said Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, we all know what's going down in Mississippi. So, you know, maybe she has a reason to feel the way she feels. Whether it's right or wrong, she got a reason to feel the way she feels. Because maybe where she's from is the other way around. It's her folks being put in the ground. You know? I mean, sometimes at some point we got to have some common sense with stuff. You know what I mean? If she was getting on national television saying, hey, kill all the cops, that's one thing. But when you're in a climate.
I think it was when she said, got him, you know?
I think. But still. I mean, even if she came back and said, hell yeah, that's the, you have to take it in its microcosm of what it is.
Oh, my God. And you talk about me using words, and here you are talking about the microcosm.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Bite me.
You but, would enjoy it.
But I still believe that we should take her statement at face value. Where does she come from? What is she dealing with? What does she see? Instead of just, she's in a Subway uniform, so she's speaking for Subway. We got to fire her. Okay, she's like I said, she's probably working a minimum wage job, working her ass off the Subway, and now she doesn't have a job just because she posted something on Facebook. Now, I also agree, you got to watch what you say, what you do, what you post on Facebook, because people are always out there looking. Always, somebody always out there trying
what
to
do something. What you call them, lurkers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, lurkers and haters. You're going to have, no matter, you could be the most infamous person or non-famous person on the planet, somebody's still going to look at what you post on Facebook and have an opinion about it. Because
all right.
Would we
let
even know who this person
that.
Is?
No. Let me get you off, okay? Because I know we got to move on. I got one more hot topic that I know you're not going to have a discussion about because you're going to hate me for doing this one.
Really?
For all of you Empire fans, how about when Empire comes back? They are bringing a fourth actor on, Zac Efron, from School Musical, High School Musical, and he is going to be Lucius Lyon's fourth son. So this should be funny to see how Cookie and Boo Boo Kitty and the others react to this, because you saw they already gave him an unknown daughter, a secret daughter,
really?
When everybody found out, yes, that wasn't his granddaughter, but his daughter.
Week. You couldn't
no.
have saved this
I
want
to go ahead and put that out there. No, because then it wouldn't be news. It would be old news.
Why wouldn't it be news?
It
probably didn't come on until the fall.
And it's published now, so I wanted to say something. Also, it's going to be 18 episodes next season. Okay, there you go. All right, see, I told you it would be real quick because you wouldn't want to talk about it.
I'll never get those 2 minutes back in my life. Never.
Anyway,
coming up, Benita Moon, Jessica Simmons, right after this.
Yay!
And this week, for your reading pleasures, we have For You by Fanita Pendleton. Shoot First, Ask Questions Never, Part 1, 2, and 3. Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Boss. Fist Full of Tears and Fist Full of Tears, the sequel. The Moscato Diaries, Moet, Money Over Everything, An Open Marriage, A Fatal Attraction Story. And by our other guest, Jessica Simmons, we have her wonderful debut novel, The Billionaire's Captive Mistress. You can find all of these titles to read on your Kindle at Amazon.com. WTF is giving back to the community with our back-to-school drive. We are collecting paper, pencil, notebooks, anything that will help a young person to succeed in school. For more information on how you can donate supplies and where you can send them to, please contact our very own Kim Jones. You can inbox her on Facebook. Thank you so much, and help us give back to the community.
All right, and we are back.
I believe we have someone at the door.
Oh.
Welcome, Benita. Welcome, ladies.
Hey,
Benita.
How y'all doing?
Hi.
I'm
Jessica.
Here. Hello.
Hi. How are
Hello,
you guys?
Lady.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, nothing much.
Nothing much, huh? We just doing the show.
That's what's so, up. So we here to talk about it.
So,
start them off, AJ.
Yes. Fanita, where are you from?
I am originally from Oakland, California, but I've been a Virginia girl for a long time. So you could call me bi-coastal, if you will. I claim both sides.
Oh, that is right. East Coast and West Coast, huh?
That's right.
Oh, neat. All right. Jessica, what about you? Where are you from?
Well, I'm a North Carolinian, but I've been in a few cities, so I still consider myself a down south girl.
Now, are you actually
but
from Fayetteville?
Well, I've got family here, if that counts. I lived here when I was a little girl and moved away, and I've been back about a year now, so it's a family stomping ground.
Cool. So now, Fanita, do you write under a pen name?
I do have one book under a pen name, Jessie Marie, but most of my books are under my name, Fanita Pendleton.
How did you choose
I do
that?
Have one book. Jessie Marie?
Mm-hmm.
It's my mother's name.
Oh, that is neat.
And it's a different genre. So it's more of a contemporary genre. So I wanted to give it a shot. It's a book called The Secret Liaison. And it's really, really good, but it's not the genre that I normally write under that Fanita Pendleton is known for. So I wanted to kind of separate the two. And not a lot of people know that I wrote that.
Oh, cool.
You said the name of that is Secret Liaisons?
The Secret Liaison, yes.
The Secret Liaison, and it's under what name again?
Jessie Marie.
Okay.
Isn't that nice? I like that name.
Yeah. I
like
check
that
out.
Yeah, it's a really good story.
Now, Jessica, how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been jotting stuff down since I was in high school, you know, short stories here and there between classes, but I wrote this book 3 years ago, and it took me a year to write, so I've been writing seriously ever since then, but I've always had some stories in my head, just had to put them down.
Gotcha. Fanita, how about you? How long have you been writing? I think I saw your first book was published back in 2013, is that correct?
Yes. Shoot First, Ask Questions Never came out in like April of 2013. Then that year I finished the series off of part two and part three. I've been an avid reader probably since I could put words together, but I always wanted to put stories out there. You know, times have changed and have allowed us to kind of take the bull by the horns and do it ourselves. So all of these stories keep flowing out of me, and I'm having so much fun doing it, and the readers are loving it. So that's a plus. And so it's been about a good 5-6 years since I started writing seriously, and I've been published now for about almost 3 years.
Wow.
Let me interject right quick. Fanita, so what do you think about the literary landscape right now? You like it?
I'm excited about it. I'm the type of person, I kind of stay in Fanita Pendleton's lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about what I see when I look down my lane. I try to stay out of everyone else's lane. You know, not only do I write books, but I have a small publishing company as well. And I own a bookstore that I just opened. So, you know, I got a lot of kind of things in my circle, in my lane that I'm focusing on. And I'm excited about what the future holds, and I'm excited about what I see daily when I work on several projects. So when I look at the literary game, I kind of look at it from my vantage point.
Okay. So it sounds like you got a lot going on. You know,
and having a
bookstore. Yeah. Well, it's great.
Wow.
To be able to do what you love to do. I mean.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is what I do as my passion. I mean, I'm a probation officer by trade, so that's what I do all day.
Okay.
But as soon as I finish that, then I put on my passion hat and, you know, write my books, you know, deal with my authors and, you know, work on my store, the things that I really enjoy doing.
Now, do you feel like one day that you're going to let the day job go and just focus on your literary stuff full time?
Oh, sure. That's the ultimate dream, and I applaud those that are able to do it at this time. Sometimes I sit and wonder how they were able to do it. But, you know, for me, I've been a probation officer for 17 years. I may very well just finish out my tenure
with that, you know, since I put so much time into it. And, you know, after that, after my son finishes college, then, you know, I may very well just, you know, do what I want to do.
Okay. I get that.
That makes a lot
now,
of sense. Yeah.
Jessica, not to leave you out, how do you see your literary vision from here on out? What do you want to do besides write?
Well, I don't think there's too much that I'd like more, you know, doing more than writing. You know, I'm an editor on the side, so that's just because, you know, I'm a grammar Nazi. But I really find a calming element in my writing. You know, it's really therapeutic getting all those ideas out on paper. And, you know, my parents have their publishing company and their bookstore, and I help them when I can. But as far as myself, you know, I've got a few more books in me, and the faster I can get that out to the reading public, the better. You know, I have two children, and I work full-time, so it's tough trying to balance being, you know, a full-time mom, a full-time employee,
yeah,
and a writer. But your drive is, you know, that's the one thing that you have to hold on to. If you're hungry for it and you want it, you're going to push as hard as you can, and you're going to knock out those obstacles regardless of how hard it may seem. You got to focus on the horizon and not just what's in front of you. You know, if you're focused on the trees, you'll miss the forest.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I often find myself envious of some writers who just get to write all day long, like they don't have kids or anything like that, and they can just focus and focus and focus. Because kids bring another element to the equation. They just
do.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely like what you just said. You have to keep your eyes and your vision focused on what's ahead.
Well, I'm blessed with mine, actually, because he's older.
Yeah.
And he's able to participate a lot. Like, he kind of keeps up with inventory. And he knows how to pitch my books when we're at events and, you know, or he'll walk around passing out flyers. So he's very much involved. Like, this is really like his first job.
Wow.
So, and he's proud of mom. So.
Oh, yeah. You got to be. You got 8 books under your belt. Wow.
Not many of his teachers don't have a book. So he'll sell a book. So it's a big help, and to have him involved, no different than if he was, you know, dad cut hair and he was teaching him how to cut. You know, it's you know, me showing him business, but also spending time. It's a way to incorporate all of that. But he's getting a little older now, and he wants to go hang with his friends and stuff a little more. But he still makes sure if I have an event that I'm packed and I'm ready to go and things of that nature. So it's always a big help.
Let me ask you this, Anita. Like, do you venture out and you participate in a lot of events? Like, what type of events do you like to go to and participate in?
I try to have at least 2 events a month, whether I have to make them up myself. I invite other authors to come along if it's a large enough event. Next Friday, the whole weekend, holiday weekend, we have the Emoji Festival in Portsmouth, Virginia, and it's always really big. We did it last year. We had 10 authors. No, we had 5 authors last year. This year we're doubling it with 10 authors, and we'll be under 2 big tents, and the readers are out there, and we're the only book vendor. So it's always a big event, especially with the authors of those books being right present. People love that, they really do. And then I'll go to, we have a Berkeley reunion that I'll do next month, and then I'll drive to Baltimore for the African American Book Expo, and I did that last year as well. So I try to, you know, get out. You kind of want to, when you're a self-published author, you really want to develop a home fan base, I think, first, and then sprout out from there. But you got to be to grind and figure out where the events are and make events when they don't. And that's how I got involved with the malls and doing events at the malls, to the point where another mall asked me to open up a bookstore. And that's, you know, I opened up my bookstore on May 1st. And right now it's a kiosk, and in January we'll be inside of an actual store. So it's a growth process.
Wow.
And for me, it's just making sure that I stay relevant, that I keep, you know, the books in front of at least my local public, and then I branch out from there.
Okay.
Gotcha. Now, so Jessica, what's your motivation to write?
My motivation to write, well, it's definitely not the money, because this is not a, a goal-making business. But I would have to say that my biggest motivation, besides my children, and, you know, showing an example of what you can do if you put your mind to it, is I just, I have these stories in my head, you know, just these situations that people need to hear about. And I need, it's like a desire almost, you know, like a an urgency that I have to get these stories out. You know, it's something that's almost in my blood. You know, my father is a writer, an amazing writer. And that lust for the written word has been passed down through my veins. And I can't keep it in me. You know, I think I would probably go crazy if I couldn't write anymore. And, you know, even in my day-to-day life, you know, sitting around or in the grocery store or, you know, in the doctor's office, you know, you see someone sitting in front of you and automatically start making a little backstory about them. You know, she's probably reading that magazine because she's pissed off at her husband because they just had an argument and she didn't take out the trash. You know, it just goes off on a tangent almost
right.
Without me realizing it sometimes. And that drive, that urge, I can't suppress it, and I won't suppress it. I refuse to. So I will write, and I will continue to write until I can't think of anything else to write anymore.
Right.
Now,
Jessica, Anita, what motivates
little,
you?
Jessica, tell us a little bit about Captive Mistress, the billionaire's captive mistress. Tell the readers why they should pick it up.
Well, they should pick it up because it is Diet 50 Shades of Grey. Okay, not everybody's into that S&M and bondage and whatnot, but, you know, it's really intriguing to read about a man who has the kind of money to basically do whatever he wants. And that kind of power is very sexy. You know, a man is very tall when he's standing on his wallet. So, and writing this story, I found it very fun to research about how the other half lives, you know, the 1% of the 1% who can, you know, throw out their card and buy half a store without, you know, blinking an eye. I mean, and one point in the book, you know, I'm not going to give too much of it away, but he tells her, besides a small country, I'm sure you can't purchase anything that would put a dent in the Johnson fortune. So it's really fun kind of writing about that tantalizing lifestyle that we don't get to, you know, step our little toe into, but these people are immersed in it every day. You know, they're doing shopping sprees at Neiman Marcus, they're on Saks Fifth Avenue, they're buying up an entire floor of things.
Right.
You know, and it's almost like going and buying lunch. I mean, he lives in the top two floors of the Waldorf, you know, and researching that book and making sure that I have all the facts straight was probably almost as fun as writing the book itself. You know, researching where the high-end, you know, society lives, and researching villages in London where the mega rich live. You know, not even the rich, the mega rich. And I also like the romance aspect of it, because men that high on the top are usually very lonely, and they don't really have anyone that they can talk to, and they don't have a confidant, and they usually don't have someone that can meet them on an intellectual level and someone who stimulates them, because, I mean, face it, men with power get very bored very easily. And it's tough to keep a man like that interested, and this woman does. Basically,
I'm trying to think where I can position myself to find one. Oh, keep going. I'm just thinking.
She does it with a sense of seduction that she doesn't even know that she has. It's almost an innocent seduction. You know, she's just so carefree with her love for this man. And
I think
the chemistry between them, the chemistry between them is undeniable. There's just some things that you can't bury down. And there's that always going to be that one person that no matter how many lovers you have, no matter how many people come in and out of your life, they're always going to be on the back burner because they seared your mind with their experience. You know, they're burned into your brain. You can't get them out. And you'll find yourself dreaming about them at night and thinking about them when you're alone. And when you find yourself unsatisfied by yet another partner, they'll be the ones that pop in the back of your head like, if only so-and-so were here right now. And that type of chemistry is really fun to write about, that type of just boiling lust that you can't control. You can't contain and you can't ignore. And I love writing this book. It's definitely a labor of love.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Down boy. Down boy. You got me.
Are you talking to me? I'm just sitting here thinking, where can I position myself to, you know, because, I mean, I'll give him, you know, a run for his money, and I can provide the, you know, intellectual stimulation. I can do mm-hmm. that. I can do that.
Oh, please.
I got the friend. Excuse you. So in your research, Jessica, did you find out where they like to hang out, you know, by chance? Or?
Yeah, in one particular scene, there's a Japanese restaurant. It's called Mesa. It's the wine there goes from anywhere to $200 to $3,000 a bottle. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, your typical plated dinner would run you about $2,000-$3,000. You know, it's for the elite of the elite, you know, and just places like that. And there's a specific town in London called the Richmond Borough. And it's got the River Thames on it, and it's got houses surrounding the river. And the lakefront property, I think, goes for about maybe $550 million, $560 million. And those are the lower-end houses. You know,
lower
so
end. Wow.
The mansions that are surrounding the lake are almost ridiculous. Almost ridiculous. But, hey, somebody's
wow.
got to do it, right?
I'm definitely going to have to – I think I'm going to start planning my vacation now. Fanita.
Yeah.
Fanita, I was asking you
yes,
before, what's your motivation to write?
When I listened to Jessica talk, I was like, Lord, we sound almost similar. I used to be like, I'm not bipolar. All of these people in my head are from these stories that I need to get out. You know, I'm always thinking of different plot twists. I hear a song and it reminds me of a scene that I was thinking of. So my motivation to write is just to get these stories on paper. Like, initially, I didn't even think that people would want to read it. But every time a reader hits me in my inbox and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe this, I can't believe that. It's like, okay, well, let me keep on putting it out there. And I just love the way that once it gets on paper and it comes back to me, I pop my collar sometimes. I'm like, girl, you did that. You know, it's exciting. It's exciting. Or sometimes you'll read something that you wrote and you're really in awe yourself, you know, that it came out the way that it did and it flows mm-hmm. the way that it does. So, I mean, I just love to do it. I can't imagine not writing. Like,
exactly.
All of the books that we have written is something that is going to be here to discover forever. It's you can't get rid of it. It's,
right.
it's here.
Right.
It's your legacy. You know, it is the proof that I was here. Like, my son is the proof that I was here, and my books are the proof that I was here.
Right, right.
Okay, now let me ask you this, Fanita. Like, okay, you've been in the business for quite a while, and you're growing. You know, you got your store and everything. Own publishing company. So what advice would you give to an up-and-comer that wants to be where Fanita Moon Pendleton is right now?
Well, I would just like to tell people to make sure that they have the time to dedicate to their craft, because writing the story is only half the battle, if it's even half. You know, being able to grind on a daily basis to connect with readers, to
mm-hmm.
find new ways to market yourself, find new ways to stay relevant. All of that is the real battle and the real struggle. You know, if you're a writer, you can get the story out.
Mm-hmm.
You have some people who just want to write, put it out there in the atmosphere, and think it's supposed to do this dunk shot and slam dunk. And no, not necessarily so. You have to be willing to dedicate the time to do the legwork. We are independent people. We are independent publishers, independent writers. And that independent part means you lace your shoes up, because you're going to have to do some walking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't All have right. the time to dedicate to do that, then it's not the time right now to put your stuff out there. If you have right. the time to dedicate it, then let's roll with it.
I agree. That's sage advice. How about yourself, Jessica? What advice would you give to an up-and-comer?
It's not easy. and don't try to come into it thinking, oh, okay, I got this great story, and I'm going to get this jotted down, and I'm going to get it published, and yeah, we're going to be good to go. No, it is not easy. It is probably the farthest thing from easy besides being a parent. Because you will have to work at it, and you will have to work, and it is not going to be a job that you get a break from, because you're going to have to promote, and you're going to have to talk to people about your book, and you're not going to be able to just, it's on Amazon, okay, that's it. You know, you're going to have to tell people about it. I mean, how is anybody going to know who you are if you don't tell them? So don't come into this business thinking that, you know, you're just going to have your story and put it out there, and you're going to be, you know, John Grisham overnight. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. And just because it is difficult does not mean that it is impossible. Don't get those two things mixed up, because, yes, it's going to be difficult, and, yes, there will be steps that you need to take, but if you want it, you can make it happen, because even James Patterson had to start somewhere. You know, he wasn't James Patterson overnight. You know, he started out probably as little Jimmy Patterson with his little manuscript trying to get somebody to listen to him, you know.
Right.
So, he didn't become, you know, the writer of Alex Cross in day two. You know,
right.
It took some time, and it took some effort, and it took some blood, sweat, and tears. I hate to use that cliche, but you got to work at it. It's not going to fall in your lap. You got to get out there. You got to go get it.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Don't get
All
no
right.
better than that. So.
Well, we are going to take a break, and then we will be right back with our main topic for this evening.
Double standards, y'all.
And coming Saturday, May 23rd, 2015, the first of many titles from Joe Ken Publications, Washed in His Blood. He was a foster child, ruined by the system, betrayed by the very system that was supposed to protect him. And now, he's back. And those who failed to protect him then will be the one needing protection now. Available for pre-order, set to download and be released on May 23rd, 2015. Available on your Kindle and coming soon to Nook.
Looking for a good read? Try reading Sugarland by our own Jody Sanders. Meet Sugar, a mysterious and vengeful woman originally from a small town in Georgia, as she returns to the Carolinas to deal with her shameful and disturbing history with a group of three very flawed friends. Also by our own Kenitra Jordan, Eternal Bloom. Raised to honor her vows, Ayanna Adams soon learns the truth about her husband and still has to try to find a way to get herself and her children out alive. You can pick up these two titles at Amazon.com for your Kindle or Barnes & Noble for your Nook. Thank you for your support.
If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. Drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I kick it with who I wanted, and I never get confronted for it, 'cause they stick up for me. If I were,
double standards, and that's exactly what Beyonce was talking about in her song, If I Were a Boy.
You know, I almost thought you was going to play that whole song.
I wanted to, because the whole song talks about really great double standards, but I like that first one because she was telling the truth. If I were a boy, I'd just roll out of bed, throw on whatever it was I was going to wear, and head out the door. And that's what a lot of guys do.
It is not that simple. Y'all have no clue what it is to be a man. You have to shave. I mean, like, every day. You don't just roll out of bed and throw on some clothes. Are you serious?
I'm going to need some toothbrush at least. Jesus.
Anyway, double standards,
you
y'all.
You get the point, though, Jody.
Mm-hmm. I get the point.
You get the
double
point.
Double standards. Start them off, KJ. What kind of double standards do you see other than
well,
wanting
I mentioned
to roll
the
out of
funny
bed,
one in the
I
group today. I mentioned the funny one in the group today, and it was really funny because I didn't tell anybody about, you know, us doing a show on double standards. It was just I had a little girl. I put it as a coworker in the post, but it was actually a student. The student got put out of class, a little girl, because apparently the little boys farted in class. And so she thought, okay, well, I'm just going to fart too. And so she farted in class, and she was the one who was put out. You know, they wrote a referral on her for being crude in class. And it was just, and I was doing everything I could not to laugh in this little girl's face because she's sitting here in my office and she's like, well, I don't understand it, man. It's not fair. Boys, men, they burp, they fart, and people just say it's a boy or that's a man, but, oh, I fart in class, and all of a sudden, I'm a nasty heifer. I'm a trifling bitch. And so I was like, well, sweetie, we have to be, and I'm trying to keep a straight face, but I just thought that was perfect considering that we were talking about double standards today. Yeah, because that
double,
is a double standard.
This is the double standard that you wanted to start with.
Yeah,
out of all the ones that we
double...
have, that's the one you want to start with.
Yes, because it should be nasty either way. It shouldn't be nasty for the boy. I mean, it shouldn't just be ill for the boy, but for the girl, it should be the same reaction for both people.
Well, there's a reason why we have double standards, and I guess because everybody wants little girls to act like little ladies. And I guess in a lot of people's minds, little ladies don't burp and fart in public. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I agree.
Whatever.
That is a double standard, but, you know.
Somebody said whatever. He said whatever.
When he comes, it comes.
That's true. When it comes, it comes. But I'm just saying, you know, it is a double standard. I have to agree. It is. Not saying
yes,
that people like we guys fart and burp in public either, because they don't.
Gas builds up in us just like it does in men. I'm saying.
Exactly, and that's what the little girl was saying.
It's gonna come out.
Well, I get that.
I'm
sometimes
not,
y'all got to toot.
Like
I know sometimes y'all got to toot. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Did you say toot?
Toot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he just said toots. Okay, I know, right?
Okay.
Jessica, what do you think?
I think if you're in public, neither man nor woman should be burping and farting in public. But, you know, if you're home with your man and you let one go, it shouldn't be a big deal. You're with your man. Who cares?
Oh, we're beyond that. Give us another.
But if you're in
thing.
Public, no one should fart anyway.
That's what I said. No one should do it in public.
one
you know
double standard I see a lot is with physical violence.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about, you know, men beating up on their wives, and it is just, you know, horrible. Domestic violence is terrible. But you also have women who beat up on their husbands with
mm-hmm.
no provocation. So I mean, that doesn't make it any, you know, more okay because it's a woman beating up on a man. I think domestic violence is domestic violence, and you shouldn't hit your spouse regardless. That's just my opinion.
I find it, I'm glad you brought it up. I find it interesting that it seems like that, of course, now in the NFL, because of Ray Rice situation and some others, it's been highlighted, domestic abuse, but it's like any time that there's an altercation now, it's like they jump to judgment and the guy is automatically in the wrong for it. Like in the Ray Rice issue, we saw it because it was on camera. We saw it on video. You know,
mm-hmm.
he knocked out his wife or his then fiance, punched her. So that was pretty clean cut, cut and dry. But a lot of times domestic abuse isn't clean cut and dry. There's multiple shades of gray in it. You know, there's, you know, the woman jumping on the guy. Then, you know, he retaliates. Then all of a sudden, because he's the guy, it's worse because he retaliated. Then I've seen situations where the guy was trying to leave, and she just won't go let him leave. You know? Yeah. She just won't go down that way. No, you're going to stay here and take it. You know, and then the cops are called, and they escort him out and put those nice little bracelets on and take him downtown. So it's like, there's definitely a double standard with that. I think it's changing a lot, though. I know in North Carolina, they look at both sides now, like the man doesn't automatically go down when there's a call, when there's a domestic call. They actually look at both sides and see what happens, and they try to get the story from both angles. And sometimes they take them both, or sometimes they take the woman. Whereas, you know, years before, it was automatically the guy. Didn't matter what happened. He was going to go downtown. But then, you know, I don't think you should be putting your hands on anybody. I don't think anybody has the right to put their hands on anybody.
That's right.
Period. You know? Yeah. Like, you shouldn't, as an adult, you should know how to solve your issues or your problems without resorting to picking up a knife or a bat or whatever, or just your hands, and putting them on somebody. It's just not worth it.
Exactly. You know, you should use your words.
Exactly. And if you can't use it, what the problem is, people can't use their words because they feel like their words aren't cutting into them enough. They got to do something physical. You know, if I just use my words, it ain't going to hurt you enough. I'm going to have to connect my fist with your face. That's going to hurt. You know, and it goes both ways. It's not just one-sided. But the media now, because we live in a PC society, wants to always portray it's just these men just coming home for no reason, just jumping on their women, beating them down. That is not the case. I'm here to tell you. There may be some cases where you're just dealing with a bastard and he just got a mean streak and he just coming home wailing on his woman. I'm sure that does happen. But I'm talking about by and large, that's some other shit that happened along the way. Excuse my friends. That it just didn't happen that he just came home and flipped out. It was some other stuff that happened first.
Right.
You know?
Now, Marina wanted to say something. And Fanita, we're going to get you on and get you up in, but Marina wanted to say something about the domestic violence piece. Let me just figure out which one is Marina here. Hold on. I think she's telling me which one is her. Okay, here we go. All right, Marina, you wanted to comment about the domestic violence double standard?
Yeah, I wanted to comment in on that.
Go ahead.
And I know it from both spectrums. Because I seen it growing up, and then I was also a part of it as an adult. And I had a foster sister. She was 7 years older than me. And when she got with his father or whatnot, and she had, I think three or four kids with this man, when I say that this man did not deserve for her to put her hands on him, he really did not deserve it. He went to work every day. He worked 10-hour shifts every day. He came home, he cooked, he cleaned and everything, and she worked 10 hours just like he did, but he came home and did more than she did, and she would get pissed off for whatever little bullshit. He didn't clean something the right way, he didn't do something to her liking or whatever, and she would beat the shit out of him. One time I was in the house and they were fighting, and he told her, "You're not going to keep putting your hands on me because I'm a man and I was raised to not put my hands on women, but damn, you're taking it too far." She took a hot iron and threw it at him.
Wow.
And he beat the shit out of her after living for a whole year with this woman putting his hands on her. And when the cops got called and the cops came and everything, they both got locked up because he beat her ass and he had an iron mark on him for where she threw the hot iron at him because it hit him on his back. But the thing was that he spent time in jail, but she didn't. And I felt like that was, really, really messed up because she should have sat her ass in jail just like he did. There was no reason why he sat down there for 90 days and she didn't. That was a load of bull to me because I feel like if you sit up here beating this man every day for a year and he didn't put his hands on you not one time And so he finally got tired of it. And when he finally does do some shit because it was justified because you threw a hot-ass iron on him, why are you out of jail but he's not? Like, that's bullshit.
Double standard.
Right. You know, and then on the other side, like the shit that I was dealing with, I had a psycho-ass ex-husband who suffered from PTSD and some more shit. And he just swore I was out here while he was on his deployment giving the pussy away to every damn body and their mama. So when he came home, I automatically caught the bad end of this shit. I automatically got my ass whooped because he just thought that the stories people were telling him about whatever happened with their wives, girlfriends, baby mamas, or whoever, it was happening to him, although he had been with me long enough to know that I wasn't that type of woman. But he wanted to listen to what everybody else said, so automatically I got to walk on eggshells in my house and do shit I shouldn't have to do in my house, otherwise I'm going to get my ass whooped. I almost lost my son because of him. All over bullshit. And he said, she said.
Wow.
So there is a double standard. There's a very high double standard, and I think it's fucked up because men and women alike, if you put your hands on somebody and you ain't got no business putting your hands on somebody, you need to sit your ass down at the jailhouse and spend your time in there.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming. Looks like we have one more. Hold on. We have one more person.
Thanks, Marina.
Yes. Caller, did you want to make a comment or you had a question?
Well, what I want to say is I don't really think there is a double standard, because to say that there's a double standard is to assume that men and women are equal when they're not, especially not physically. And so where it's definitely wrong for anyone to have to physically assault anybody, it's far worse for a man to put his hands on a woman than it is the other way around.
Like, okay, I'm going to stop you there for a minute, bro. Most of my family is from, like, the country part of North Carolina. And when you say that physically there's a difference, bruh, I need to introduce you to some of my female cousins. Because they will literally knock you out.
My wife will walk up on me and give me a rib check a lot of times. So I know she's got a lot of power behind. She's got some big shoulders. But
no, I ain't talking about skinny little whatever.
No, my wife is over 200-something, so trust me when I say she's got some power behind her punch.
Now,
what
suppose
I'm
you
is,
were 5'5", suppose you were married to your wife and you were 5'5 and 130 pounds, would you still say physically you were more imposing than she was? Because it's not always the case that the man is the more dominant, imposing, physical person.
A lot of times it's not
that way.
Well, I probably stopped too soon. It's just not a physical thing. It's just the way things are. The man is over the woman. The man is supposed to take care of the woman. That's just the way it's supposed to go. And so to have that man violate that natural instinct to protect that female, that's what makes it far worse as well. So it's a number of things. It's just not one thing. It's just complete.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, because the way I was raised was, no matter, you know, what a female does, a man should always keep his hands to himself. That's how I was raised, you know, that a man who puts his hands on another woman is a punk or a sissy. That's what I was always told, because, you know, even, because guys, now, Jody, I got to go against you. I'm sure you're so surprised. I have known guys who are my height, who, just because they are my height, they are still, you know, as far as
brute force goes. I'm not just talking about your height. I'm talking about physically imposing. Like,
I'm just saying.
I know plenty of females that are way stronger than some males that I know. I know plenty. I used to play basketball all the time at the downtown Y in Durham.
Really? You're not going to let me finish what I was saying before you go into your
sermon? I'm just going to tell you something, though. There was a woman there that used to fight guys, literally fight guys, and we used to have to break up these fights all the time. And she was knocking dudes out. I'm not lying. She was knocking them out.
Okay, but that's not what I was talking about. What I'm saying is just because we are the same height doesn't mean that he's not stronger than me. Okay, so I have been with, dated, you know, gone out with guys who were same height as me, but were still, as far as brute strength goes, they were much stronger than me. So I do get what the gentleman is saying with that particular comment. So I do get
okay,
that.
Okay, I wasn't disagreeing with that. What I was saying was there are women that are physically stronger than some men. That's all I'm trying to get you to say. Every man, just because you're a man, is not stronger than a woman. That's all I'm trying to get you to understand. There are women out here that will knock your ass out. Go to WorldStar. They have videos of women beating up guys all the time.
Guys, you can't tell. This is something that is near and dear to Jody's heart because
it's
I beat
not near
him
and
up.
Dear
I'm
to my
kidding.
Heart. I'm just saying it's a double standard. To say
yes.
It's not a double standard is just, you know, it's a double standard. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
My thing is that the situation is not black and white. You know, it's if you got a woman who is bucking up and she's, you know, hitting on her man and blah, 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 you buck up, you deserve to get your ass beat down. You want to act like a man and you want to throw some hands, if you think you've grown, then you deserve to get your ass beat, period. Like, don't think that you're going to, you know, come at somebody and come at somebody and come at somebody and come at somebody and provoke them and provoke them, and they're going to sit there like Gandhi. Sooner or later, you're going to get your ass slapped in the mouth, and you'll deserve every bit of it, period. Women have this sense of entitlement that just because we're labeled as the fairer sex, that we can bark, 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 bark in somebody's face and don't expect them to bark back at us. Frankly, if you big and bad enough to buck up, then you big and bad enough to get your ass beat. Period. Now, I'm not talking about some husband who's beating on his wife because she didn't do the supper right. I'm talking about that ratchet bitch who was in her man's face with her long-ass fingernails, and he thinks, like, you ain't going to do nothing, and she pop him in the face a few times. She might push him back in the face a few times. She might squish him back on the couch, mush him in the face. There's the only amount that a man's going to take, okay? If you want to act like a man and you want to throw some hands like you're ready to be, like you're ready to get in a fight, then you need to be ready for a potential fight. Period.
Right.
Period.
Benita.
Like, it's, you know, don't be big and bad if you can't handle it.
Benita, what's your double standard? And then we'll go back to callers because I see we have people waiting. Benita.
My double standard would be, I guess, the double standard in dating and in relationships. I don't know who made this rule that women have to, and everybody to each his own. If I see someone I'm interested in, I'm walking up and like, yo, what's up?
Hello.
That's me. I close mouth don't get fed, and I like to eat. So I don't know where that double standard. I have girlfriends that say, oh, my God, I could never do that. And I'd be like, but that's why you always at home by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because you like the person who ain't got no job, but you waiting on job knock on the door to come get you. To me, it don't work like that. I wasn't raised that way, and so maybe that's why I don't understand it. But there's no way that I'm going to see someone who I'm interested in, who I probably will never see again unless I say something, and I'm just going to let them go. So to me, there's
sense.
A double standard that there's an issue with that. You know, people
that
see another woman doing it, and they're like, oh, my God, why would they do that? That is so weird, whatever. I don't think it's weird. I think it's an assertive woman. I think it's an independent woman saying, hey, how are you? It's always how I've been, but I've noticed women thinking there's an issue with that. And so I think some men have an issue with it as well. I've never ran up against one, but I'm
just, some men see that as, like, too aggressive or whatnot. And personally, I don't approach first. So, you know, that's just, I never have. One, I'm, you know, get me off the radio or off the internet, and I am extremely shy. So I don't just walk up to people and, hi, you are so cute, or, you know, anything like that. But for me, it's just because I am, you know, like I said, very shy. So
I think for the guy, it's actually easier on the guy when a woman approaches him. Because it takes that element of hesitancy and the wavering. You don't know if she's going to, you know what I'm saying, accept your advances or not. It kind of takes that out of the equation. And I think it's...
But a lot of women don't know that, though, Joe. A lot of women don't know that men feel that type of pressure.
They just think that men got it all together. Men are human, too.
Oh, yeah. It's huge pressure.
Right, but a lot of women don't see that. They're like, well, I don't know why he ain't saying that, because he probably even looking at your mean face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I'm glad you said that. Why is it that so many women like this just meme mug? Like,
mean face. Wake up,
you
can
pull up at the stoplight. You can pull up at the stoplight and look at them, and they just got the most meanest look on their face for no reason.
It's not mean on purpose. It's resting bitch face. It's resting bitch face, okay? It's not mean on purpose.
Oh, my God. Is it really that bad? You need a hug? Come on.
Okay. You know, I'm not saying resting like, bitch face.
I see folks mad first thing in the morning. How you mad 7 o'clock in the morning though?
Exactly.
I don't even
know. Man, what? Somebody pissing your cornflakes? I mean, come on.
You know what I'm saying? Well, Cat Williams say gang banging on bacon first thing in the morning. Yeah. So ain't no guy gonna walk up talking no mean face.
Right.
Oh God.
I definitely agree with you there.
You guys are
hilarious. Do you have any more callers?
Yes, we do. Let me bring another one in.
All right.
Caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment?
Is that me?
Yes.
It's
What's
Divine.
That's Divine. What's going on, Divine?
You know, I can't listen without pushing one at least once. I have to call and support. I had to call and support our daughter, Jessica, giving much love and support to her. You know, we're proud of her and proud of what she's doing, you know, not only in her writing, but in her life in general. So kudos to Jessica.
What?
I don't care. I'll talk about what I want to talk about.
That's her father, y'all. Go ahead.
Look, I want to say something. Look, I've been holding this in since the very beginning when Fanita came on. I want to say hello
what
to
I
you
do?
Also.
No, what I do.
There's something to ask a question earlier. They said, how do you feel about the literary game today?
Mm-hmm.
And you stay in your lane. And I like that because you said if everybody else would stay in their fucking lane and stop worrying about what's going on in the other lanes, everybody would have a smooth travel in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
see,
right.
Everybody's looking at the next lane and seeing and trying to figure out who might be passing them that crashing in their own lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you know, definitely props to you on that comment. That I love that. That was beautiful. And you know, to all those out there listening, stay in your fucking lane. Period. Then stay in your lane. Stay on the right. If you can be in the HOV lane with me and Fanita, then get in the HOV lane. But if you can't be in the HOV lane, don't look at what's going on in that lane.
All right.
Now, as far as the double standards, what was your mind?
Yeah.
I heard him. What was the question?
Are you still there?
Anyway, I'm hanging up now. I just called to say hello to y'all and give y'all love and support. I'm gone.
All right, Divine.
You.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
What?
And if y'all are in Fayetteville, please visit Zitro Books.
All right, we have another caller. Caller on the line. Hi, you have a question or a comment?
I have both. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hi, who's this?
This is Patrick.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Patrick. We haven't heard you in a while.
Patrick. Oh, excuse me. I had to let one out.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. Look here. My double standard is money. Money issues, especially for the non-custodial parent. Okay? My
what
point
do you mean?
Is that, okay, let's say the custodial parent, which is usually the mother, let's say she get a promotion on a job or a new job altogether, corporate America, New York, Chicago, making six digits. Does the father get a break?
Nope.
Oh, but if that father get that same promotion or a corporate job, Chicago, L.A., New York, would the mother want more?
Yep.
Okay, why is that? If we already, if we're paying child support and spending money on the side, birthdays, Christmas, other things, you know, buying school clothes and everything, how come we get such a hard time when it comes to money? How come it's not fair? What about, like, taxes? How come the taxes are not split?
Now, you know that's an argument
both,
I have.
We both can't claim that child and split it down the middle. Or how about when the woman get the $2,000 or $3,000 extra dollars in taxes, will she give that father a red dime, red penny?
Most of the times not.
No. So that's my double standard issue.
I think for that particular issue, it depends on the female that you chose to lay with and get knocked up.
Really? It don't depend on
because,
the female.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because, see, the cloth that I'm made out of, I ain't asking you for shit.
Thank you.
But that's just me. I ain't asking you for shit. I don't want shit from you. Whatever you can contribute is fine. That's, you know, whatever. But I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not even going to ask you to be present in the child's life. That's on you. You'll be the person who will regret that someday. And it won't be because I turned that child against you, because I'm not a bitter bitch. But I'm also not going to force somebody to be in my life and to be in the life of our child's life if they are doing it begrudgingly. So I think that has to do with who you lay with and get knocked up. That's just my opinion.
Yeah,
because
I'm not
anything.
Just speaking of myself. I know a lot of fellas who.
Yeah.
Oh, and as soon as they.
And
make
it goes clear
spot,
across
you
the
know,
board.
If something happens, something good happens for them, the mother just jumps up and wants more money. Or if you get into a new relationship, and if you go traveling, they're going to think, okay, well, he must got some extra money. Then they give you a harder time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if the woman do the same thing, she can meet an NBA player.
Yeah.
And start living a life. You know, the limelight, but she's still going to give her father a hard time. Be like, I ain't never known a woman, a guy tell me, my baby mama told me I ain't have to pay child support this month because she's strapped.
Well, then you
I do understand what you're asking, Nitra, but I haven't met anyone like that, and I have heard that before, too. And next thing I know, I got a letter in the mail or a request for more money. And I'm talking about fathers who does great for their children, who's there for their children, where the children always asking about them, can't wait to see them, you know, can't wait for the weekends or when.
Can I jump in on it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I hear what he's saying, and I hear about the double standard. And you're right, there is a double standard when it comes to child support and the parents who do take care of their kids.
Is that Marina talking?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Okay, I'll just hear it type and say jump in.
Okay, I have four kids with my ex-husband. Four, right? He's in the Army, and he pays his child support. We went and did our thing in 2011. It was voluntary. He put it, you know, I filed the papers, and he signed everything, and he put himself on it. Everything's all good, right? Well, recently... And when I say recently, I mean like last week. This fool literally asked me, can I take him off child support? Now, my thing with that is if he was coming to pick him up when he said, if he was doing what he said he was going to do by taking him for birthdays, holidays, and all that extra shit, I would have no issues with that because I'm a woman and it's my nature to take care of my kids. I always know how to pay my bills. So his little bit of child support money don't do shit for me. That goes for my kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I always knew how to take care of my kids with or without some money from the father of my kids. It's always been like that for me. I learned that from my mom. My issue is how when you're a father and you're on child support and you try to ask the mother of your kids to take you off of child support, but you ain't doing a motherfucking thing right in your kids' lives. You're putting women before them. You're putting your friends before them. You're putting your job before them. You're putting basically everything before them, but you're not doing shit to be a father. Like, if he was coming every weekend like he was supposed to come pick them up, and he was coming to take them for birthdays like we had previously discussed and a whole bunch of other stuff, I would have no issues with taking him off of child support as long as I knew when I said, hey, bruh, I'm short on my light bill. You think you can get me? And he said, okay, don't worry about it. I got it. If we had that type of communication, cool. We'd have no issue. But we have an issue. because when his ass left and got his orders to go to Germany, he wasn't paying me child support. He didn't give me not one damn dime, not nothing. And we had been divorced since May 2010, and he went to Germany in December of 2010. I was busting my ass working 60 hours a week at Food Lion, which is a grocery store, in order to make ends meet in my household because he didn't give me nothing. And when I called him 1 month, I was like, hey, I'm short $60 on my light bill. You think you can help me out? You know what he told me? Bitch, I left you my truck. Huh. I shouldn't have to give you shit out. Are you serious?
Oh, wow.
Like, really?
Well, see, in those cases, you was just with a bastard.
You're
see,
right.
I think what Pat is talking about, Pat is talking about the good father. He's not talking about the bastard. He's
and
talking
see,
about the
I,
good
I
father.
I have no problems with the good father, because like I said, if he was a good one, I wouldn't have no issues with
okay,
him.
Okay,
you know
okay,
yeah.
If that good father, not to cut you short, if that good father, everything was going good money-wise, whatever, but let's just say he got into a jam, or let's just say he was ill and was out of work for 2 weeks with no pay or whatever, and he needed your help to pay a light bill, would you help?
Not a problem. Not a problem
hey,
at all.
That's
exactly.
What I wanted to hear.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Like, okay,
exactly.
I can give you an example. My brother. My brother works for Coca-Cola, right?
Okay.
And he pays $445 a month for child support for his daughter. Now, he pays his money, comes straight out of his check. He don't even complain about it. His baby mama works two jobs, right? Two full-time jobs at that. On top of my brother paying his child support, he also pays for my niece's daycare. Well, not anymore because
wow.
Now she's old enough to go to school. But he paid for her daycare up until now.
Mm-hmm.
This
and
ignorant bitch. Yeah. Because he was paying almost $1,000 a month for her daycare.
Right, right. I know
but
about daycare.
But this ignorant bitch that he's dealing with, she goes to court because, check this out, he saved up enough money during the year, you know what I'm saying, taxes and everything. Mind you, he's been paying faithfully for his daughter and everything. He saves up enough money to take a trip to Vegas for his birthday. This bitch catches wind of it, and she goes to the damn child support court and tells the damn people at child support court, oh, well, he's got money to take trips to Vegas and do this and do that so he can pay me more money. If he's paying you almost $500 a month and, bitch, you got two damn jobs and on top of that he's taking his daughter every other weekend like your agreement says and he's buying her anything extra that you ask him to, why are you asking for more money? I don't get that. I don't get it at all.
I think that's what Pat's talking about.
Yeah, and
because
that
happens a lot.
I don't get it. Because both of my brothers take care of their kids. One of my brothers has a daughter, the other one has a son, and both of them take care of their kids. And I, like, really want to strangle the bitches that they got kids with because I see my brothers struggling. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they don't even have money to pay the person to take them to work or whatever. But they struggle to do whatever they got to do to make sure that their kid is straight.
Right.
Like, one of my brothers has his ex-wife, she's living in Hawaii right now. And, you know, Hawaii is expensive as fuck.
Right.
She's paying a lot of goddamn money for him to go to, for his son to go to daycare. And he's paying it. He works at FedEx, he goes to school, and he has another job. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
He's trying to do whatever it is he can do to make sure his son doesn't want for a shit. And my thing is, like, damn, bitch, what more do you want? You better be lucky you have my brother as a father for your child because we didn't have a father growing up. So I know my brothers are going to make a way for their kids, period. And for you to be all extra greedy and shit, knowing you already make more than enough to get in his wants, why the fuck are you asking my brother for their wants? Like, that shit is beyond me. I wish I had a father like that for my kids.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because I can't even get... I asked the asshole $3 for $3 the other day for my son because he had a spring concert. Three damn dollars. And
yeah.
This bitch told me, no, he can't give me $3.
Should have gave you $5 to keep the change.
You know? But I can find a way to make sure all my bills are paid in my house. All my kids have clothes, shoes. They all got TVs in their room. Every type of function they got at their school, I'm taking them to it. I'm paying for it. I'm doing all of this shit. I'm taking my kids to get their haircuts every other week and all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing this. And I have a bullshit-ass baby daddy. But there's some good-ass fathers out there, and I want to strangle some of these mothers.
You like the good ones are the ones being punished, really.
Yes, the good ones do get punished, mm-hmm. and I want to strangle some of these bitches out here like y'all dumb as hell. Like, I wish I had a father like that for my kids, where I didn't have to say, hey, are you coming on Friday to pick them up? No, that's an automatic. It's given. Soon as they jump their asses off the bus at 3:30 on a Friday, he at my door at 3:45 like he got their shit ready.
Wow.
Like, come on now. You know what I'm saying? And then there's like it's a whole bunch of extra shit. I can talk about this subject all day.
This could
I
be
really
another
can.
Subject. Another topic.
Yeah, a whole nother subject.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that is a serious double standard and one that I know about, and I'm sure Pat knows about. We're about to wrap up the show, y'all. Thanks for the caller. Thanks for Pat, Marina. The other caller, I don't know if he ever mentioned his name that called in. But
sound like Michael.
I don't know if that was Michael or not, but thank you, whoever it was. Thank you for calling in. Thank you to Fanita Moon Pendleton. She had to leave early for a prior another engagement. Thank you to Jessica Simmons for joining us tonight. Thanks for Divine for calling in. Take us out, KJ.
You asked for it, and it comes live at you every Friday night from 10 o'clock until 12 o'clock midnight. Whatever your freaky little heart desires is what we will discuss live and on air in a group discussion type forum. Join us as we will discuss anything freaky under the sun.
Hit it! Because I get stupid, I mean outrageous. Stay away from me if you're contagious. Cause I'm the